church's voice of praises to you as free and one.
Let my mouth be full of your praise
and your glory all day long.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Benevolent God, you are the source, the guide, and the goal of our lives. Teach us to love what is worth loving, to reject what is offensive to you, and to treasure what is precious in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Please be seated as we listen to the word proclaimed.
Reading from Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, says the teacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the teacher, when king over Israel in Jerusalem, applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to human beings to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to those who come after me, and who knows whether they will be wise or foolish. Yet they will be master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night their minds do not rest. This also is vanity. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us praise Psalm 49 responsively. Hear this, all you peoples. Give ear, all you who dwell in the world.
You who abide in free and low, rich and poor together.
My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and my heart shall meditate on understanding.
I will incline my ear to the proverb, and set forth my riddle upon the proverb.
Why should I be afraid in evil days, when the wickedness of those at my heels surrounds me?
The wickedness of those who trust in their own prowess and boast of their great riches.
One can never redeem another or give to God the ransom for another's life.
For the ransom of a life is so great, there was never enough to pay it to pay.
In order to live forever and ever and never see the grave.
For we see that the wise die also, like the dull and stupid they perish, and leave their wealth to those who come after them.
Their graves shall be their homes forever, their dwelling places from generation to generation, though they had named lands after themselves.
Even though honored, they cannot live forever. They are like the beasts that perish.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Colossians. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Do you remember having that conversation with your parents? You know, the one that they sit you down and talk about the birds and the bees? You probably remember that conversation. How about the conversation that they had with you about the bulls and the bears? You remember that? You know, the one about the stock market and wealth and saving and how to use your money. Did you have that conversation with your parents? How did you learn that? In a couple weeks, our church will gather for the National Churchwide Assembly in Chicago. And there's always resolutions and papers presented. And this year, as the last couple years, there's a resolution or a paper on human sexuality. There isn't any paper or resolution on wealth or greed or money or what to do with our goods. If we are truly followers of Jesus Christ, we would follow his example and talk about the things that Jesus talked about. Jesus talked about sex very little. talked about money a lot, talked about wealth and possessions very often. If we're going to follow Jesus' example, that should be our topic sometimes. Often, in the old days, fables and fairy tales were used to teach, a very common way that parents would teach their children something. They would tell them a story. And the ancient Greeks have a story, a myth, to teach about greed. King Midas was a kind man, and he ruled his kingdom fairly. But he was not one to think before he spoke. One day he was walking in his garden, and he saw an old man asleep on his flowers. King Midas had pity on the man and let him be. Well, the god Dionysus heard about this, and he wished to reward King Midas. So he said he would grant him one wish. Well, the king only thought about it for a second, and he said, "I wish that everything I touch would turn to gold." And so it was. The beautiful flowers in his garden that once turned to face the sun and the light now stood rigid and gold. The king grew hungry and thin because every time he tried to eat, the meal before him turned to gold. And his lovely daughter, with one little touch of a loving hand, had turned to a golden statue. His water, his bed, his clothes, his friends, his whole palace was soon gold. And King Midas knew that soon his whole kingdom would be gold if he didn't do something. So he asked the god Dionysus to turn everything back the way it was and to take back his golden touch. Well, the god saw that Dionysus was very ashamed and very regretful about his greed. So he took pity on him. And instantly, King Midas was poorer than he had ever been, but richer in the things that really count. Now, Jesus told a similar story with the same kind of theme in order to teach us something, to teach us about greed and wealth. And again, the protagonist in the story is one who is held up for us as an example of how we ought not to be. If your identity is wrapped up in your possessions, if your identity is wrapped up in your status and your achievements, if you're driven to achieve and to acquire possessions, then you can easily forget the call of God, be unaware even of the call of God and the need of your neighbors. The other side of the coin of life is to be rich toward God, to amass possessions or to be rich toward God, a life that is devoted to serving God on a daily basis with concern for the neighbor, having your eyes open to the needs of others. Now the fool, the rich fool in Jesus' parable, is not an evil man. His crops produced abundantly because of the rain that fell on the good and the bad alike. He was a just man who benefited from that. But the trap is that he falls into is what he does next after he has this abundance. When he has a windfall, he doesn't run to his neighbors and invite them to celebrate his good fortune with him. Nor does he go to his neighbors and ask their advice on how to solve this most excellent problem. He stays focused inward. He's only concerned about himself and his own security. Now, it would be very simple to preach this sermon and talk about the fact that Jesus doesn't like material things and Jesus doesn't want you to have any wealth. Oh, I could just say, so give it all to me, and I'll help you out. That would be unfair. It would be misreading the gospel, of course. It would be treating scripture in a way that scripture is not intended to be treated. And that is not what Jesus is saying. He doesn't dislike wealth. He doesn't say it's wrong to have possessions. There's much more in this Bible passage than that. Jesus knows the seductive power of possessions and wealth, and he wants to save us from falling into that trap. He wants us to be open and ready to receive the blessings that God has in store for us. Now, I think if that rich fool lived in San Diego, he wouldn't have had a problem. I looked in the yellow pages under storage units. How many pages of advertising do you think there are in the San Diego yellow pages for storage units? You would be right if you said over 40. 40 pages of ads. He wouldn't have had any trouble at all finding a place to store his grain and to store his goods. What does that tell us about how much stuff we have and what we need to do with that? But let's be clear, having possessions and stuff is not wrong or even irresponsible, but it can distract us from gaining treasures in heaven. It can distract us from our goal in life. Eugene Peterson in The Message points, in that translation of the scripture, that story, Jesus points right to our heart and says, what I'm trying to do here is get you to relax. Not to be so preoccupied with getting, so that you can respond to God's giving. Don't be so preoccupied with getting so that you don't have time or intention or thought to what God is giving you. Don't forget who and whose you are. We are the beloved children of God, and our God wants to give us so much, wants to give us so many good things. But the question is, do we make room in our cluttered lives for the blessings of God? Or are we too cluttered? Are we too occupied with getting stuff that we don't have time or interest in what God wants to give us? I think God should have created us with a price tag, because we all look at price tags. We know, and if you're a really good shopper, you don't even have to look at the price, you just look at the label and the brand name, and you know the worth of something. I think we are very poor in knowing our own worth. So maybe if we had a price tag attached, we would remember how much we're worth and how much other people are of value as well. We forget how precious we are in the sight of God. And it's not about the abundance of our material possessions. It's not just those who have wealth who are valuable in God's eyes, but each of us, all of us are. And our value is not connected to our possessions. So this is the new truth, the new value that Jesus brings. When there's an abundance of good, then share. If you get, then give. That's the way to go. That's the problem with the rich fool. And that's why Jesus is holding him up as an example, a warning for us. And if we're going to heed that warning, then we have to look at that rich fool and see, where did he go wrong? He went wrong because he remembered the wrong things and forgot the right things. He remembered, first of all, himself. According to his own estimation, he was the most important person in the world. in this little short story that Jesus tells, he only uses first person language. I, my, mine. He never says them or ours or we. He's always only concerned about himself. I once heard that Jesus came to banish the words I and mine from our language and replace them with we and ours. When Jesus was asked, teach us to pray, he taught a prayer that does not have a singular first-person word in it. Our Father, our daily bread, our sins. It's not about me. It's about us. We are the precious, beloved children of God, filled with abundant grace, marked with a price tag beyond belief, but we are part of that family of God. We are a child of God, a part of that family, invited to share those goods and those blessings with others. The second thing that the rich man remembered was this world. He forgot about the next world, what would happen to him after death. His idea was to amass things which he believed would provide for him security and happiness. But that's not the goal of Jesus' followers. This world is important, but that's not all there is. When we forget that truth, when we forget that this is not all there is, we have forgotten the object of life. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Don't forget that. The rich fool remembered those two things, himself and the world, and he forgot the essential things. He forgot his neighbors. His goal was to take care of himself, to relax, to eat, drink, to be merry. He was only thinking about himself. He forgot everybody else. Second thing he forgot was time. He forgot time. There's an old story. Three little devils in training were sent to Earth to test out their technique. And the first little imp said to Satan, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell all the people that there is no God. And Satan said, that's not going to work. People know in their heart of hearts that there is a God. And the second little imp said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell people that there is no hell. And Satan said, that's not going to work. But people, too many people, live in a hell on earth. Their suffering, their personal situations are such that they know that there is a hell. And the third little devil in training said, I know what I'm going to tell them. I'm going to tell people that there's no hurry. And Satan said, ha, good, you go. You will destroy millions of people. Tell them there is no hurry. Tell them they've got all the time. The rich fool must have been one of those who had been told that he had all the time. He forgot about time. He thought there was no hurry. He forgot God. All we need to do when we make our plans, if we forget God, if we forget about God when we're making our plans, we've forgotten the most important part. We've left out that important factor. My grandfather worked in a mortuary, drove the ambulance slash hearse, and helped with the services and such. And one of his favorite sayings was, I never buried anybody with a checkbook. I never put anyone in the ground that he's no pockets in the casket. You know, it's really true. We ask the question sometimes when somebody dies, we wonder how much they left. You know, what? And the answer is everything. We all leave everything, simply everything. So don't be the rich fool. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And make sure that as you gather your stuff in life, as you take care of the needs of this world, that you don't forget to grow rich toward God. Don't leave out that important factor. Don't be a rich fool, but be a rich child of God. Store up for yourselves treasures in heaven.